Last week, we started our first year series. You might notice that I do a number of series. That way I don't have to preach for 4 hours.
Amen.
That's right. Big amen there. That way we can break it up and we can get the most out of the word. And we start out every year not doing resolutions. We start out asking God for one word to help us direct us. One individual word. And last week we talked about taking time to look up, taking time to unplug. And if you want to get that first slide up there, it's looking in. It's preparing your heart to ask God, God, what's my word? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And we encourage people to get away from the noise and the distractions of life and create an environment for a little bit, or maybe every day for a week or two or three, to look inward, to quiet your mind and really listen to your heart, to what God is saying to you, to your heart. Because God's speaking to our heart all the time. He's trying to tell us things. And sometimes it's really hard to hear him because the world is so noisy. Have you noticed that? The world is noisy. And so we need to unplug and get away, okay? And then we ask ourselves these three questions. What do I need, okay? What's in my way and what needs to go? And once your heart is ready by unplugging from the noise around you, we listen up, okay? We listen up to God. And we realize that God has a word that is meant just for us. You know, maybe every day you might get a word that, you know, a scripture that just helps you through the day. But this is a word that you're going to hold on to for the rest of the week, or the rest of the year. I'm sorry. You're going to hold on to this word. And we're going to talk about how, once we get it, how we live with it and what we do with it. Now, a lot of times people say, well, this is kind of crazy. You just want me to, you know, go and ask God what my word is and, you know, and then just, what if I don't hear something? God's speaking, and we're all different. Some people are very in tune to hearing God's voice through the scripture, through worship. This morning we were talking about worship. Cindy and I were talking about worship and how powerful it is and how it can set the stage for your life and for your day. And, you know, it on Sunday mornings, it's usually a struggle to get to church, isn't it? I mean, really, okay? And it gets to be a bigger struggle when you have children. And it gets to be a bigger struggle when you have children and grandchildren. And it gets to be even a bigger struggle, you know, when you're a pastor and his wife. You know, everybody says, oh, you and Cindy, you just are so cute and everything. Yeah, you should be inside our car once in a while, you know. We're both type A people. You know, we get the job done for Jesus and on each other sometimes, right? And the devil wants to distract us, and so he's speaking to you. And so sometimes, you know, if you're one of those people, you're kind of freaked out about this, don't over-spiritualize it. All of God's words are good. All of God's words. I'll be real honest, the first year that we started this, I was like, well, you know, I just went through, we have a list of the names of God, and I started going through that list, and I thought, he wants me to be Christ-like, he wants me to be like him. I'm just going to go through this, and when one of those names kind of pops up, you know, because he's righteous, he's love, he's powerful, he's strength, he's, you know, he's humble, he's obedient, all of these things, and, you know, and one just kind of jumped out. Like, oh, thanks, God. Got my word. You know, because Cindy, she really hears God. I mean, those of you that have been around her, you know that she really hears God. She hears him clearly, you know, and I was like, I got to get my word. Because, you know, she's going to be asking me, okay? So that year, whew, you know, well, then it was a couple years later we were doing this, and I got my word, you know, and so I said to Cindy, do you got your word? And she goes, not yet. I was like, yes! No, I didn't do that. So don't freak out about it, okay? God is going to speak to you, and it may be just like, okay, what do I need? What's in my way? What needs to go? Okay, those three questions can help you a lot of times. So, listen up. God has a word that's meant for you, and he will use all means of communication to get that word to you. And we never know when, where, or how our word will be revealed to us. You know, I told you that I've heard God speak to me through people that were not living, talking, or acting anything like they knew God. Sometimes you're like, whoa, did they really say that? You know, wow, I need to listen, you know? So God will do that. And once you get your word, now we're going to continue, you know, to be asking those questions, continue to just ask God for that word if you haven't got one yet. And like I said, don't freak out. You know, like I the first year, I just kind of went, oh, man, I need that. What's in my way? Why haven't I been able to do that? And what needs to go in my life, okay? Very, 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 very easy way to kind of focus it and settle it down. But once you get your word, you need to live it out. And that's the second part of that circle. There's another circle that we need to live it out. You got to do that. You got to live out your word. You can't just hold on to it. We are vessels that God pours into and we're supposed to pour him out of. So we need to live out our word. You know, and you may find your one word when you ask God one question beyond the other three. And this is the next question. It's, Lord, what do you want to do in me and through me? The first part of this is finding out, you know, what God wants to do in you. And the second part is, what does God want to do through you? Because your word will be a part of that. If your word is, for example, if maybe your word's servant. Okay, boy, now that's one that just leaves you wide open, doesn't it? Because, well, this year God wants me to be more of a servant. Humble, you know, I know that that's one that I think the whole human race struggles with. And some people, you know, it's even like a false humility or an inferiority humility, you know. So we need to live it out, okay? You know, maybe a word that God has for you is something that you don't even, I don't know, you don't see clearly, but you get the word, and then what you find out is God has given you that word to strengthen you so that you can walk out your faith a little bit better. Now, here are some examples. It always helps to have some examples of people and their words. And some people are like, I hope he doesn't use my word from last year or the year before. No, I'm not picking on anybody in the congregation. I've already picked on me and I've picked on Cindy. Okay? So we're going to look at examples in the Bible. And the examples, first of all, in Noah. You know, if you were to think about Noah, what word comes to mind? I read in Genesis 6:9, and man, his word came right out. It says, Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a righteous man, Genesis 6:9, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Wow. Wow. Now, you know, his word could have been righteousness, blameless, you know. But can you imagine, you know, right now we're going through some kind of troubling times. But can you imagine being Noah, the only family on the face of the earth that was following God? Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? I mean, we all have half a dozen to 20 to 30 people we can call to encourage us, you know, that know the Lord, that know Jesus, that understand what we're going through. Noah, he was the man. He had three sons, three daughter-in-laws, and God said, I want you to build this huge boat, and it's never rained, bud. Ouch. Man, I'll tell you, righteous, he was right with God. That's what it means, to be righteous with God. Or how about Abraham? What we read Abraham's story, and you know, it's amazing what his word probably was, because Abraham messed up. Right? I mean, you read Abraham's story, and you're like, when are you going to get this right? And I remember thinking that one time, and I heard this really, really, really quiet, sweet, gentle voice say, when are you going to get it right? It's like, I'm hearing you, Lord. I'm hearing you. Okay, so how about this? Abraham, I think you could have given him the word faith, because Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Have you ever been in that place where you feel God is nudging you to do something? You're just like, where is this going, God? And then he doesn't tell you. Well, think about Abraham. He says, well, I want you to just pack it all up, and I'm going to take you out here, and I'm going to show you this land, and you don't know where you're going. I mean, let's face it. Wouldn't you much rather have faith in God and not know where you're going rather than not have any faith or not have God and still not know where you're going? You know, we have an advantage in our faith. We know where we're going. The world without God, they don't know where they're going. So Abraham had faith. And I think that was a key word for him. Joshua, oh man, I love Joshua. Do you realize that Joshua really only messed up one time in his walk with God? You read the story. I mean, Joshua was spot on with God. It says that Joshua would go down to the tent of meeting, and after Moses left, because Moses was down there and he was meeting with God, after he left, Joshua would stay behind. He wanted that much of God. And so we find that Joshua was Moses' assistant in everything. He was the commander of the army, okay? He's the guy that went into the promised land, came back, him and Caleb, and they said, no, we can take it, we can do it. And everybody else went, no, we can't. And Joshua, no, we can't, no, we can't. And Joshua maybe could have had a lot of words, steadfast, brave. But I think we find it in Joshua 1:9 when God is talking to him. And Joshua 1:9 is on the back of our sign down here. When you drive out, you can read the scripture on the back of the sign. It's a reminder for us to be Joshua's word, courage. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Courage. Why does he have courage? Because God said, I'm with you. You want to know something? God is with you. Amen. And you can have courage, just like Joshua did. Or how about Jesus? Wow. You're like, man, we are stepping out here, aren't we? We're going to give God a one word. We're going to give the one word a one word. Well, Jesus had a lot of words, and he gave them all to us. And he was the living word. We could have said living. We could have said a lot of things. But I think the most important word that Jesus walked out was obedience. Think about it. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, it's one thing to die of natural causes, but it's quite another to be tortured to death on a cross. And Jesus was obedient, and because of his obedience, if you read further in this scripture, it says that God exalted him to the right hand of the throne in heaven and made him head over all things. You see, in Christ's obedience, we can walk in obedience. And Jesus says, I have made you my children. I have made the church something very special. You go through Ephesians and you find out that you are a child of God and you have some incredible things going for you. So those are four men, well, three men and one God in the Bible and what their words could possibly be. They were words that all of them needed. They were the one word, the living word that God gave them that they needed. When we get God's word for the year, then it's time to live it out. It's time to live it out. And we're going to talk about once you get that word, here's some things that you can do to help you do this, okay? Put your word places that will give you a regular reminder of what it is. You know, we have these wonderful, wonderful cameras that they put a phone in, and they work really well because you turn it on and boom, you got a screensaver, right? So we can do that. You can put it on there. You can maybe put it on a screensaver on your computer. You can put it on make a nice little sticker and put it on the mirror in your bathroom. You can stick it on the dash of your car someplace. There's so many things that you can do. I encourage you to write down three things, or to think of three things, okay, that you will do to make sure that you have regular reminders of your word. You may get a scripture that really encompasses your word. You know, and you might want to memorize that scripture and then start your day out with that scripture. Or maybe find, you know, various scriptures throughout the year and memorize those scriptures. You know, one year my word was anxious. In Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition. You know, you need to put it out in front of you so you don't forget. We tend to forget or let things slide. A couple months down the road, you're like, what was that? You know, well, okay, yeah. But we need to do that. And then another thing that really helps with this one word is to share it with a close friend. Someone who is close, maybe one or two close friends, share and say, hey, you know, I'm doing this thing this year where I've asked God to show me an area in my life that he wants to work in, that he wants to change, that he wants to encourage, that he wants to strengthen. This is not a negative thing. This is something where God is taking an area of your life and strengthening you in that area. And, you know, I really feel that this is the word that God gave me this year. And, you know, I want you to know that. So if, you know, what I've done with it with a couple of people in my life, I've said, okay, this is my word. And if you see me faltering, if you see something, or maybe you read something that would encourage me, let me know. It's amazing, you know. When you have a team, when you have that support, it helps a lot. And I encourage you to let at least three people in your close circles know that, hey, I'm doing this one word thing, and God's given me this word. You see, letting God put a word into our hearts and getting that word into our hearts and keeping it out in front of us, it will lead us on our 2021 journey. Just like last year when we started 2020, how many of us realized that, wow, you know, that we focused on the one word, focusing around the names of God. And we looked at the names of God and what they mean. And we focused around that. And boy, I'll tell you what, last year was a year that we needed to focus on God, right?
Amen.
On his strength, on his righteousness, on his truth, on his provision, on all of those things that God has for us. And this year, I encourage you to get a word that will help you on your journey. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Now, the wonderful thing about this scripture is it's two parts. Your word is a lamp to my feet. When you're walking down a path at night and you've got that flashlight and you can kind of see what's going on, you can see where you're going because your feet aren't going to stumble because you can see where you're going. I don't know how many of you have been in the woods after dark and you're like, why did I go so far up that mountain, right? I always take a flashlight and I take extra batteries. Cindy always gives me a bad time. I have flashlights stashed everywhere in my life, okay? Because I really think that God's word is like a lamp, and if we're prepared with his word, we won't stumble. Here's another thing, and it is a light for my path. It shines out there a little bit further. A couple weeks ago, we went up to Billings, and you're going across, you know, the northern Wyoming. Actually, you leave Gillette, and it's pretty dark, okay? And you're going up through there, and I thought, wow, when I dim my lights, I can't see very well. Well, we went in, and one of our headlights burned out, the dim, you know? And so I was determined to see what was going on. So what do? You turn on your brights. We got flashed a lot. A lot of people just were not happy that my light was guiding me down a path so that I didn't hit something way out there. So you see, God's word is a light for our path close up, and it's a light for our path further out. Our word prepares us for what's coming up, and it shields us from what's around us. So I encourage you. Just say, okay, God, I think I need a word. And then quiet your heart, you know, and let him show you what it is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the living word. And we thank you, Lord, that we have your written word. And I pray, Father, that the living word Christ and the written word, the Bible, would show us what you have for us this year. Show us, Lord, how you want us to do and to be and to share something amazing in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.